For parts of my sermon this morning, I am indebted to the late Roman Catholic Cardinal Avery Dulles on something he wrote several years ago. We read the famous story of Jesus at the lakeshore, Jesus calling the disciples, Simon, James, and John. How does he begin? He begins by calling an ordinary group of people to spread the news, to spread the word about him. Which means none of us comes to this alone. None of us is born into this church, into the faith. Rather, somebody has to invite. Somebody has to tell us the story. Whether you were old or you were even too young to remember it, somebody got you here. Jesus invites those to follow and then invites those to invite others, ordinary people. It's what we in the church call evangelism. And it's always been a challenge for the church, no matter what age or time the church finds itself. And here we find ourselves in the modern world, and we face a number of challenges. One of the things is that we tend to separate faith, the modern world tends to separate faith from belief. I have faith I'll find my lost purse, I heard somebody say recently. What does that even mean? I have faith I'll find my lost purse. It must mean a separation of faith and belief, faith from a set of things that we hold true. Faith is a sort of universal, sort of innate human quality found in all sorts of different forms around the world. And it's found in anybody who cares deeply about anything at all. Right? Faith then is a sort of an interior orientation toward some kind of mystery, right? A human inclination present in all of us. Who care about any sort of mysterious thing at all. Right? To separate faith from belief then means then the Christian faith looks like a human construction. Right? A human construction that some of us have found to be kind of helpful some of the time. Such a view, of course, has been deadly for the church's mission to invite people to come and follow. Right? Very different from Luther's sort of sense in which the gospel is the external word. It is that which comes to us from the outside, that which intrudes upon us, perhaps uninvited, perhaps unlooked for, perhaps even in some sense not even wanted. It is a word, it is a message, it is a bodily form that's way different than anything we could have sort of contrived on our own. It is, in fact, nothing less than the proclamation that this one, and the life, death, and resurrection of this one, this Jesus of Nazareth, is in fact normative. Right? I mean, there may be sort of religions that come to you from nice long walks in the woods, or pondering your psyche, or gazing up into the stars. But Christianity, the sort of intrusive word that comes upon us, is not one of them. Then, of course, part of our challenge to invite some to come and follow is, in fact, we live in a religiously pluralistic age, right? We have discovered all sorts of religious expressions around the globe, and some of us, some of the times, think that, well, we should just let each religious expression just sort of stand there on its own, right? Unhindered with any kind of dialogue, debate, conversation, and disagreement with the other, right? And in that sort of view, Jesus Christ saves me, saves you, but can't save the whole world. I mean, no one path is any truer than any other. Of course, this is nothing new, and it's wonderfully attractive if you wish to avoid conflict between competing senses of truth. Ultimately, of course, it doesn't work. I mean, all religions claim to be true, and they all claim all sorts of different things. To imply, as some in the modern world do, that they're all equally true, all equally helpful, does not really take them at their own word. And in fact, it's fundamentally dishonest to our neighbor. And it is certainly not an act of love or charity towards those who differ from us. There's no way for us to not bump into each other who disagree. You can't smooth over conflict by just pretending it doesn't really matter because it's all the same anyway. And all of you know this. You know this from conversations at work, at school, at home, in the backyard. Spend 5 minutes with somebody over coffee, and you'll likely find that you have real, important differences with real, important people. And the truth is, the church has much to repent of because of our unfaithful attempts to coerce others into believing in Christ, sometimes with the edge of a sword, if necessary. But the gospel of Jesus does not permit us to do that in any faithful way. It's not because we believe in tolerance, but rather the gospel of Jesus does not permit violence or coercion, right? But can only work through conversation, through persuasion, through charity, through love, through service to our neighbor. It is to be sure, the truth that we want to share. There's something in us that wants to share to whomever will listen the good news that we have found in Jesus. And we ought to be really curious about the faith claims of others, about the beliefs of others. We ought to listen carefully, both to understand our neighbor better, but to understand ourselves better. And some point along the way, we wish to bear witness. Do we wish to bear witness in word and deed, in love and service, to the truth that we are found? Or perhaps more accurately, you can say the truth that has found us in Christ. One of the things Cardinal Dulles mentions is this false modern sense of freedom, our infatuation with choice. I mean, again, we tend to think of ourselves as I am the summation of all the choices that I have made or not made in my life. I choose, therefore I am. Anything that I have not chosen is simply just not worthy of me. I mean, it's the modern world that created the very sense of the individual. An individual whose entire summation of their life is the totality of all the choices they've made. Which, of course, drives religion to be private. It drives it to be personal. It's all the choices I have made. But that seems to run also in conflict with all the social sciences telling us how captured our lives are, how caught our lives are in webs that we did not choose, that are not of our creation. Our parents, our history, our culture, our economics. Right? We tend to brag so much about our ability and freedom to choose, and yet find ourselves captured and caught by things we did not. Yet we in the church believe that the good news of Jesus Christ is not a human contrivance, not a lifestyle option among others. Rather, it is a gift given to us by God. It comes to us from the outside. You will note throughout Scripture that there's actually very little in there about us choosing things. Yes, we're given the opportunity to decide, but we decide not after sort of carefully, intellectually sort of weighing out options and choices, but rather we simply wake up to God's invasion in our life. We wake up to a God who has created us. And the more we find ourselves sort of attached to God and the Lord's desire for us, the freer we are to live and to be. To be sure, that's a rather unique and Christian way to view the world, and contrary to much that we hear and read about. Of course, freedom always leads to the question of authority, I think. Many of those who say, and I'm not interested in the church, I'm not interested in God, because it's sort of some sense it's sort of, they believe it sort of violates their freedom. I don't want to submit to some sort of external authority. You know, I just want to be free. However, we believe in the church that you can't have sort of an abstract individual freedom. In fact, it's impossible. Everybody serves somebody. To be sure, in the modern life, we have been freed from the tyranny of kings, only to find ourselves tyrannized by ourselves, by our families, or by our consumption. I mean, we'll consume anything rushing around to find something, anything, in the hope of grabbing the one thing that will give my life substance and meaning. So the question can't be, will I submit to some external authority? But rather, which of the many external authorities will I submit to? Which one is true? Which one is false? Again, we live in a world where people want to brag about being free. But really all we're doing is sort of rattling the chains. What we believe is you submit to the gospel, submit to the good news that God has come to you, has laid hold of your life, is to turn your life into an adventure. I mean, to do something so foolish, to leave behind the net full of fish. That image there of all that fish, this image of wealth, of prosperity, of identity, and just leave it all and go. To submit to that is a freedom beyond any freedom the modern world imagines. The truth is, there are good reasons why good people take one look at the message and go, yeah, no, I don't really have any interest in that. In fact, the truth is, it's a wonder there's anybody here this morning. Yet here we are. Here you are. You're here because in some way or another, God in Christ has found a way to overcome your resistance, overcome your misgivings, and brought you to behold the kingdom of God. In some way or another, in some shape or another, you have dropped your nets. You have dropped your old ways. You have got up and you've moved. I think what's all said and done, there are probably few of us here today are here because we've actually sort of sat through and sort of thought out all the options and all these sort of ideas of Jesus and decided, you know, yeah, that one's the best. Discipleship, following Jesus, is more a matter of just getting up and moving than it is about thinking. Remember that God has made a move toward you. God has loved us before we were born. God in Christ has loved us to his death. In obedience to that one, we find we are free. Free to consider our lives more than just one damn thing after another, more than one just choice after another, but to see life as an adventure. He has invited us to come and follow, he invites us to tell the truth, invites us to live lives worthy of the one who has come to give us life, to give us life abundantly, to give us life eternally. Thanks be to God. Amen.